chapter 17 and verse 46. And I'm going to be real, real short today. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 46. This day, say this day, will the Lord deliver into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into your hands. And if you were in Sunday school, you know what the topic of the title of my message is. But for those of you who weren't, it's "In the End We Win." In the end, we win. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me just for one more time. Father, we ask you for utterance. This word will go forth clearly, Lord, that it will find good soil to bless, to encourage, to uplift. Hallelujah. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, turn to someone and tell them, "In the end, we win." Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you all know this story. One of the most famous stories in the Bible is about David and Goliath. And most of us have heard this so many times that, you know, the miracle that happens just goes over our head. And when we think about it, as I was talking in Sunday school, the topic was the overcomer. And David was certainly an overcomer. He was only a teenager when the prophet Samuel came to Bethlehem to anoint him. He wasn't the tallest. He wasn't the most muscle. He wasn't the handsomest. He was out looking after the sheep. He was about his father's business. And Jesse brought his biggest son, his tallest son, and thought, this was he. He looks like the champion. But the Lord told Samuel, no, this is not him. Then he brought his next son, and he looked, okay, this must be it. But it wasn't him. He brought his next son. It wasn't him. And finally went through all his sons that he had at home, and he said, isn't there any more? And he says, yeah, well, I have one, but he's just a youth. He's just out in the field. He says, bring him in. You know, the devil may look at you as nothing, as if you've got no chance, as if you've got no hope, but you're the one that God wants to use. You're the one he wants to pour the anointing in. Because what I'm trying to tell you, although we're going through a battle, in the end, we win. In the end, we are going to have victory. In the end, we get deliverance. But you know, it's those that endure to the end win. Hallelujah. It's not those who give up in the middle. If you will endure to the end, you will win. There came a time when Israel was fighting the Philistines, and they had a champion. And as you know, his name was Goliath. And for 40 days, he defied the armies of Israel. No one wanted to come and fight Goliath because he looked just too mean, too tall, too big. I'm telling you, there's times when you're facing some things in your life, you don't want to face them. You just want them to go away. But you know what? They're going to stay right there till you deal with them. There's no getting around it. You're going to have to one day fight Goliath. There's no going around it. He stood there every day for 40 days, just keeping coming out. And he was taunting the armies of Israel. He was saying, who's going to come and fight me? See, the devil will come into your life, and he'll keep coming back until you deal with him. You're going to have to deal with him. You can't avoid him. You're going to have to come out. You're going to have to get some five smooth stones. You're going to have to find your anointing and realize that although you may be the youngest, although you may not be the strongest, you may not be the pastor, you may not be the apostle, but in the end, you can win. Hallelujah. In the end, if you have God's anointing, if you have God's blessing, if you have God's calling, if you will endure to the end, you will win. Now, when David came into the camp, already there was discouragement. What are you doing here, David? Why don't you go back looking after your sheep? Who do you think you are? See, the devil will tell you, you cannot win. You might as well give up now. Sometimes he'll let you escape a little bit, just like Pharaoh. Let the people go, but only to the Red Sea. Then I'm going to come and get them. You see, the devil has a plan to destroy your life. He will come out and he will taunt you every day. He will bring back all your past mistakes. He will come right back in your face using people to hurt you. But you're going to have to deal with it, but not, as the scripture says, with the sword and with the spear. Because the true battle, you can't win. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. You see, you have to understand, it wasn't this puny 17-year-old that really defeated Goliath. It wasn't his skill with the sling. It wasn't the fact that he chose just the right stones. It was because he said, "You come in your God's name, but I come in the name of the Lord." You see, he brought something that was not a sling and a stone. He brought something that was intangible. He brought the name. Hallelujah. He said, "You come to me with a shield and a sword and a spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord." You are going to have to face your Goliath, but I tell you what. In the end, you will win. Looking at David, there was no way. When Saul saw him, he said, "Well, you know, you can't go facing this mighty man of war. You need some armor." And people will try and fix you up to try and tell you how to deal with the issue. Saul put on all this heavy armor, which was no good. But you know, David remembered, "Wait a minute. I wasn't wearing this armor when the bear came. I wasn't wearing Saul's clothing when the lion came." But God was the one that showed up. In the end, David was able to win. In the end, if you will just buckle up, if you will understand that it's no use avoiding the enemy, he's going to come out every day and he's going to start taunting you. Your issue won't go away until you deal with it. Until you deal with it. See, there's no way this little teenager could have beaten that giant. It was supernatural. There's no way that you can actually defeat the enemy. It's going to have to be supernatural. Now, when you understand that, if you have been filled with this Spirit, you have been anointed. If you have been filled with this Spirit, you have been anointed. That means you have been called and chosen. Not only that, you have been given the victory in advance. When Jesus on the cross said it was finished, the Bible says that he nailed all our transgressions to the cross. If you turn with me to Colossians 2:13, it says, "And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened," that means made alive together with him, "having forgiven you all your trespasses." Here's how you start to defeat the enemy who is throwing up your past in your face. It says he has forgiven all your trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. That means the laws, all the failures, all of the charges that were against us. That's how you start to defeat your Goliath, by telling him, "Devil, you're a liar. I'm going to face you down because Jesus has blotted out my transgression. He has forgiven me. I am saved. I am redeemed. I'm going to sing the song of Moses when I cross over. I'm going to get a vision of victory. I'm going to see my deliverer. I'm going to be like Job. One day, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see him for myself." I can imagine that as David got the stones up, he was already looking at Goliath and saying, "Okay, there's only one place I can hit him. There's only one place he doesn't have some armor, and that's right there." And I'm telling you, he was already saying, "Lord, you direct the stone. You direct this sling, because I'm not good enough." We may think that we can come in our strength, but David said, "I don't come in my strength. I come in the name of the Lord. And you uncircumcised Philistine, I'm going to cut your head off." Now think about this. David had no sword. He had already had a vision of Goliath lying on the floor and him taking his sword and cutting off his head. I'm telling you, in the end, we win. But it's only those that endure to the end will see that victory. You cannot give up right now. You may be going through some things. Your pressure may be up. There may be the doctor telling you you're going to take this medication. But I'm telling you, you got to endure to the end, because the same shall be saved. See, the devil wants us, as I've said so many times, to blow us away. In Luke 22:31, Jesus looked at Peter. And Peter had been following him all this time and was so sure of himself and his own strength. And he said, "Listen, I'm going to go with you wherever you go, Jesus." But Jesus looked at him and said, "Lord, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." Satan desires to take each of us and just blow us away. He wants to bring things into your life that cause you to lose faith. But Jesus said, "I have prayed for you. I'm telling you that he has prayed for you. In John 17, before he left, he said, I'd not only pray for these disciples, but all who through their word would be saved. That means Jesus has prayed for you. You know what that means? In the end, I win. In the end, you will win. I hope I'm getting through to you. Because if you understood that in the end you won, you know you'd have a smile on your face. If in the end you win, I'm telling you, when sometime this week that person who eventually buys that $400 million lotto ticket, do you think you're going to make that person upset in any way? What could you say to that? You know, they scratch it off and they find out they won. They're going to go around like, oh my goodness, I won. No, they're going to be screaming, jumping, shouting. You could call them all kinds of names. You would not affect them. They would be smiling sweetly at you and saying, what did you say? I love you. Do you understand? That should be our attitude, because in the end, we win. We have something better than a lotto ticket. We have something better than the Mega Millions. We have passed from death unto eternal life. In the end, we win. Jesus in verse 32 said, but I have prayed for you. I've prayed for you, Peter, because you think you're going to do it by your own strength. And the test was when he got by himself and they said, aren't you his disciples? He said, oh, I don't know him. See, if we try and stand up to the devil by ourselves, we'll end up saying, I don't know him. But when you are converted, when you have been strengthened by Jesus, you can stand up boldly to the Sanhedrin. And they said they knew that he had been with Jesus. Aren't these fishermen? Where do they get this Holy Ghost knowledge? How come they're speaking like that? You see, because in the end, we win. Could you stand with me? Amen. In the end, we win. I told you I wouldn't belong. All I want to tell you is in the end, we win. Now, I have a 3-page message. I'm not going to preach it. I just want to let you know today that if you will endure, if you will endure, if you will get a vision, if you will get a vision of the end, the Bible says that Jesus endured the cross because of joy. He wasn't looking at the cross. He was looking at the resurrection. He wasn't looking at the nails. He was looking at your salvation. He wasn't looking at the pain. He was looking at the joy that you would be having today when you get delivered. He was looking at your blessing. He was looking at your healing. Because in the end, we win. In the end, I'm going to win. I've already won. I'm just going in to collect my ticket. That's all. My name is already written in that book. I've been thinking about, you know, these lotto winners. And one of the problems is that most of the states make you publish your name. And so everybody knows that you just won $400 million. But you know what? I don't care if everyone knows that I have just won something greater than that. The blood of Jesus, hallelujah, redeems us from sickness, from death, from destruction, from despair, from doubt. And in the end, we win. Amen. These altars are open. I said I wouldn't be long because I'm not taking a long time to tell you something that you should already know. I'm just bringing it back to your remembrance. Don't look at the struggle. Don't look at the journey. Look at the destination. Paul said, about 14 years ago, I don't know whether I was in this body or not, but I was caught up into the third heaven. And I saw things that could not even be put into words. I'm just imagining now that there are colors in heaven that we can't actually put into words. He said, it was not lawful for man to speak. You see, you know how I endure? Because I'm looking at the destination. I'm not looking at the struggle. If you look at the struggle, you may not make it. But I'm looking at, in the end, I win. I'm looking at John's revelation where he saw streets of gold like as of crystal. He couldn't even put into words what heaven is going to be like. I'm just going to read one last scripture before we close here. I'm just going to go to the end here. Revelation 11:15. There's coming a day when the whole world is going to know who won. The referee is going to blow the whistle. And the score is going to go up, and that's going to be it. Now, which side will you be on? Because in the end, his side wins. But in the last days it shall come to pass. Sorry, on the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, this is the whistle. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. This is going to happen. And who knows how soon? Matthew 24 and Luke 24 are being fulfilled right as we speak. There shall be wars and what? Rumors of war. And men's hearts shall be failing them for fear of the things that are going to be coming on the earth. Let me make a prediction. Jesus said 2,000 years ago that if he did not shorten the days, there would be no flesh left alive. Now, when he said that, they didn't have nuclear weapons. They didn't have biological weapons. They didn't have weapons of mass destruction. All they had was swords and spears. So when Jesus said that, that must have sounded ridiculous. How could it be that there would be a time when man can eliminate himself? But in 1941, in Alamogordo in New Mexico, suddenly was the first nuclear explosion. And the man who was preeminent in inventing it, he looked at it and he said, he quoted from one of the Hindu scriptures about destruction. And what that brings back to mind is Revelation 8, where it said, I saw a star fall from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit. And his name was Abaddon and Apollyon, and his name means destruction. Don't think that because there's never been much of a use of nuclear weapons that it won't be used, because it's in the Bible. And we are living in the last days. But in the end, we win. A great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. It's time to get on the winning side. Stop being a loser. Get on the winning side. Not saying that it's going to be easy, but there is no chance the other side wins because of who is fighting on our side. Joshua came to the city of Jericho, and it was an impregnable city. It was impossible for some runaway slaves to enter that city. It had walls 20 feet thick, 60 feet high. But it was who was fighting on their side. In Joshua 5, he goes up on a mountain and he meets someone. And the person reveals himself as the commander of the Lord's host. When you have the commander of the Lord's host fighting on your side, in the end, you win. In fact, there's an old spiritual that we used to sing, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. But that isn't really true. It wasn't Joshua. All Joshua did and the children of Israel was give praise. After going around seven times, you know what they did? They gave a shout to the one who really fought the battle of Jericho. And in the end, they won. Without actually fighting. The Bible says that after the seven times round, they gave a shout and the walls came down flat. If you want your walls to come down flat, if you want your Jericho to be defeated, you need to meet someone. That person is the commander of the Lord's host. He said, Joshua, the place you're standing is holy ground. Take off your shoes. Joshua got down and he worshiped. He knew how to fight the battle. And I'm going to make a prophecy in here today. If you will get on the right side, in the end, you're going to win. That's an easy prophecy. We're going to close this service. We're going to pray for those at the altar. But I want those of you who are struggling right now not to look at the journey. Look at the destination. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard what God has got in store for those who love him. It's only been revealed through faith. By faith, we have visions of heaven and the kingdom to come. It's going to be so sad for those of us who knew the truth to realize that we missed out. We are so close. We are so close to his coming. There are signs in the sky. I'm trying to close. I'm going to close. I just want to say these last two things. There are signs in the sky. This month, next week actually, on the 21st, is going to be a total eclipse. On the 22nd of September, 23rd of September, Feast of Trumpets, is going to be exactly 3.5 years since the first of the four blood moons, the four signs that the Bible predicts. We are this close. No matter how you count it, we are approaching the earth's jubilee. It's going to be freedom for some, but for some, their name is going to be blotted out the book of life. We're going to pray. Deliverance is in this place. This is what this church is about. Deliverance, redemption. And if we today as a church will seek God with our whole heart, in the end, we win. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we just thank you right now for your word. We thank you for filling this place with faith today. We thank you for giving us encouragement, Lord, that if we will endure to the end, we will sing the victor's song. Lord, that you're going to take us over the Red Sea. You're going to take us through Goliath. You're going to take us through the fiery darts of the enemy. Lord, we ask you right now to let our faith rise to meet your word, your promises, your love, your grace, your blessing. Lord, we come to you tonight, this morning, this afternoon, all day. We're going to bow down and seek your face.